Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yo, good morning. Welcome to the Stochastic.com MLB Strategy Show. Dave Locker, Matt Bellman, 8-game slate. A lot of 6 o'clock games. I mean, this a few years ago would have been a 14-game slate. Times have changed, but we're going to talk about it. I prefer it. 8 games over 14 games any day of the week. Talk pitcher stacks, all of that good stuff. Get you on your way. Got Live Before Lock tonight. NBA Live Before Lock tonight. 2 good games. Well, I mean, maybe one. I'm very excited for Dallas and OKC. Cleveland, Boston, not so much. Matt, did you watch the Timberwolves-Nuggets game at all last night?
I watched pieces of it. I passed out before the second half. It looked like the game was over anyways. All I can say is, wow.
Yeah. Dude, the Timberwolves, I mean, they're owning. Now, Jamal Murray injury doesn't help at all. But, like, Rudy Gobert was out, and they still dismantled him in Denver. It's a crazy series so far. We'll see what Denver can do on the road. But how about, and by the way, if you don't mind, take a single second, atone for your sins here. Tap that thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. Help us get to 100K. If you're listening or watching after the fact here, leave a comment down below. We love reading and responding to those comments. And if you ever want to listen somewhere else, maybe you just want to close your phone when you're doing stuff. Podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We got you covered. Ratings and reviews also super helpful there. Appreciate you guys in advance. What a odd slate that was last night. I mean, it felt as though almost every pitcher was good. And even the few teams that outside of Munoz gave up 4 home runs, but even, and Walker Buehler is not right for sure. We learned that pretty quickly in that one. Aside from that, though, like Wood and Heaney weren't bad. Woods Richardson had a ridiculous game. Cole Reagans was good again. Luis Castillo, I think, gave up 1 earned, had a good start. Like even the non-DFS good starts where you had, pretty much everybody, man. And then the teams that did manage to put up runs, they did so later against the bullpen. So, I mean, just what an odd slate. I don't know if you feel the same way. To me, it was just like, I'm watching this. I'm paying attention to these games. And we're almost at the late games, the 2 late games, the Oakland, Texas, and Dodger-Miami game. We're almost at those games. And every other game that's still going was like 2-0 or 1-0 or 0-0 outside of the Padres Cubs.
Yeah, it's making it a little less fun. Last night was a perfect example of it. Seems like offense is way down. Balls are dead. When there's such little offense on any given slate, you just need the home runs and you need the pitchers that do better than the other pitchers. It used to be, and maybe it still will be as the season progresses, like, You need a good score from your pitchers for sure. But most of the time, it's going to be the bats that win you tournaments. Now, with so few bats actually doing anything, you really need the pitchers like Simeon Woods Richardson, who had what, like a 30-point game last night? Just an interesting dichotomy. The offense just seems way down all over the place.
It is strange. It is strange. You know, whether maybe today changes things, like mid-70s and in Kansas City, winds blowing out 10 miles per hour to center in Wrigley, 73 and sunny there, 84 and sunny in Atlanta, 74 and sunny in New York. Maybe it makes 78 winds blowing out in St. Louis. I mean, you can't really ask for better hitting weather in early May than this. It's got to be better than yesterday, dude.
You would think so. I think there's worse pitchers on today's slate. More offenses, certainly. You've got a Coors game. Better offenses in play. Like yesterday, we had the Dodgers, but we didn't have the Braves. There was no Coors. There was no Astros. So I do expect a little more action tonight.
Well, what do you say we dive into it, friend?
Let's get it.
So Yamamoto, Lewis Hill, Ronaldo Lopez, all of these guys up top. We're going to get into all of this. Bailey Ober against Seattle getting wild ownership again. Ober had a couple great games. Then he was super chalky last time out, struggled big time. Greg was all over that, said it was the, you know, the most negatively leveraged over-owned play on the slate. Honestly, kind of looks that way again. I'll be honest, the one guy that's been really good that's getting 1% ownership that I want to start with, and it's not Yamamoto because he's 35%, and we'll talk about it. You know, clearly a phenomenal spot. Miami has a 2.7 run implied total. Lewis Hill at 8,300, great strikeout stuff. Probably should be more expensive. He's 23%. Kyle Harrison getting ownership in Colorado, but the Rockies are terrible and he's dirt cheap. What about Imanaga, though? I ask you because right now he's 1% owned. He is 1% owned, most expensive pitcher on DraftKings. So I'm not going to ignore that by any, you know, by any stretch. Most expensive pitcher, but dude, he, and also most expensive pitcher on FanDuel, getting no ownership there. He's been awesome, though.
He has been. And I think that 1% ownership is certainly too low considering how good he's been this year. But I don't think he should be like the chalk pitcher or anything for a couple of reasons. One, you mentioned it, the price tag, 10-3. He's expensive now. Two, the matchup, not good. You know, the Padres aren't the best offense in baseball, but they're very, very good. They're certainly closer to the best than the worst. So not a good matchup. And then lastly, you've got really good hitting weather here. So wind's blowing out in Chicago. I know that he's been very successful to start his major league career. He's pitched in a lot of good weather spots so far. And I'm not saying that he's not going to be good today. And I don't have interest in stacking the Padres, but I do understand why guys like Bailey Ober, who is 3K cheaper, is just projected to pick up that ownership when he's in a much better spot. He's cheaper. And I do think that there are some underlying questions with Imanaga and whether he can keep this up going forward.
What are the questions you have outside of matchup?
Well, the matchup, he's pitched, again, in really, really good weather spots every start he's had this year. Now he's getting a reversal of fortune there. I don't take too much into that, but it is worth noting. And then it's really just a price thing for me. There's expensive bats on this slate, and he is, you're paying full price for him. Again, I don't have any interest in stacking the Padres against him. He's been that good. I'm just not sure he's a 10-3 pitcher in this particular spot.
That's fair. It is crazy, though, to see a guy with 15% top pitcher probability at 1% ownership.
I agree with that. And I think the 1% is way too low. Like,
yeah,
if it ends up being that low, then I think he's a good play just because of that.
Right. Like if we get close to 7 o'clock and he's still pulling 1%, the funny thing is with that, you'd only need to get slightly above the field to be way above the field, right? 1% does seem low, though. I agree with you. But at the same time, he's going to be very, very low on because Yamamoto is 35% against this Marlins team. Look, I'm not calling them a triple-A squad, right? They're better than a triple-A squad, but they lost their best contact hitter, so there's more strikeouts in the lineup. They're not good, and they have a 2.7 run implied total. Yamamoto, 24% top two pitcher probability on DraftKings. On FanDuel, 10%, still getting 20% ownership, slightly behind Lewis Hill. So, I mean, you usually get pretty concentrated ownership on FanDuel with one pitcher site. On DraftKings today, you have three guys north of 30%. Then it kind of falls off, but Yamamoto, highest owned pitcher on the slate right now.
Yeah, I get that. Like, I'm with you as far as how they've been to start the season. Imanaga has been a bit better than Yamamoto. I think it's pretty clear that Yamamoto ultimately has the higher strikeout upside. Imanaga has been more consistent. Just a matchup thing for me here. Like, how can you say you want to pick on the Padres in good hitting weather as opposed to picking on the Marlins at home in LA? The only thing would be ownership. But to that point, the ownership is so drastic, the difference that is, where I do think it's worth a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, look, I clearly like Yamamoto better. There's no doubt. And
sure,
in my initial Sims run, I'm not really getting to any Imanaga. I just threw it out there just to consider the fact that, like, you don't usually see that much positive leverage on a high priced pitcher like that, unless it's, like you said, good hitting weather. Winds are blowing out at Wrigley. That's never helpful. To counter that, though, I will say one thing. San Diego still only has a 4-run implied total. So it's not like this is some insane game where you've got an 11-run total at Wrigley and both teams are north of 5 runs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. That's fair.
Again, do you get to him? Probably not. The Luis Gil exposure I'm getting to is really interesting, though. Like, he is by far right now my most exposed pitcher. By far. It's not even close. Can that change throughout the day? Certainly can. But I can't help but think a lot of this just has to do with price point, because it's not exactly like you've got the best matchup. I understand that the Houston Astros have not been the Houston Astros of old. I get it. But are you in line with him pulling 30%+?
Luis Gil?
Yeah.
I'm showing him at 23%. Do I need to update?
Hold on a second.
Oh, you're pulling 30. Sorry, I interpreted that wrong.
No, I'm pulling. I got it wrong. I was looking at another pitcher. You're right. I was looking at the guy above him in Harrison. But Gil, 23%. I'm getting way more than that right now in the lineup sims. Where are you at on him today?
So, yeah, 23%, 33%, you know, same ballpark there. We're seeing a changing of the guard. Like, it's slowly happening. You're seeing pitchers like, again, Justin Verlander, way lower in the tools than a guy like Luis Gil. And that's just where we are in their respective careers. I don't like the matchup for Gil, but this is one where he really stands out in the top pitcher tool just because of the price. He's got elite strikeout upside. He's not priced for that upside. Certainly there's a low floor here because we know how good Houston is, but when you're playing GPPs, you're much more concerned with the ceiling. And at 8,300, I think that his ceiling is, you know, points per dollar wise, probably right there with any pitcher on the slate, maybe behind Ober. But yeah, like, I don't like Gil as a pitcher as much as Yamamoto or Imanaga, but he's been fantastic this year. I think maybe we need to start considering that this Houston spot isn't as bad as it might have been at the beginning of the year.
I think we're getting to a point where the sample is going to be enough that we can start, you know, drawing conclusions there. He has a 31% strikeout rate on the season. The one thing about Houston, though, and I'll always come back to this, it doesn't mean that you can't play teams against or play pitchers against low strikeout opponents, you know, because a lot of times those strikeout, like, you look at Alex Wood yesterday, he was dirt cheap, obviously, and we know Texas doesn't strike out a lot, but they haven't been good against lefties, and they let him pitch deep into the game. I believe he got the win, too, right? I fell asleep. I think he did, right? So that means, I think when I passed out, he had 17 DraftKings points, so I guess he finished with 21. Like,
that's... No, they lost. The Rangers came back and won.
Oh, that's right. In the ninth,
Seager hit a homer. Four, yeah, right? Yeah.
They scored 4. Right. Okay, so neither Heaney or Wood got... But still, like, Wood still had a good start for you know, that price. Now, Gil isn't cheap, but he also has a much higher K rate at 31% than Alex Wood, who's sitting north or south of 20. The one thing, though, against righties this season, the Astros still have the lowest strikeout rate in the league by a pretty wide margin. It's 17%. They still have a 108 WRC plus, which is what, 8th in the league? A 142 ISO, which sits middle of the pack at 16th. So, like, no, they're not the same dominant Astros team that we remember, that we, you know, saw even just last year and the year before when they won the World Series. They're still better than, like, I don't know. I feel like this heel spot, maybe I'm just misreading. Where are you guys at in chat here on this? Like, maybe I'm just fully misreading it, but there's so many issues. Like he's gone more than 5 innings in one start.
Yeah. I'm just going to pick up from there. Like, I don't understand why he's so high in the top pitcher tool. I don't think the ownership is crazy. I just don't think today he's a better play than Bailey Ober, who's significantly cheaper in a much better strikeout spot and just a better spot in general. Seth Lugo, who's been fantastic. He's significantly cheaper at home against the Brewers. Like, this is one where I'm just not sure I'm buying it this early in the morning. If the tools hold like this throughout the day, then I might need to re-examine that position.
Also, do you, I mean, to your point, do you just go cheaper? Do you just go? Heel's been awesome. I'm not taking anything away from him, but that ownership, that exposure, at least like you said, this early in the morning, before we know if things are going to change. Also, not exactly pitcher-friendly weather for right-handed pitchers in Yankee Stadium. Granted, it's not like there's a ton of lefties in this Houston lineup, but you're still talking about, like, what, 75-degree temperatures and sunny in New York? Pretty good hitting weather in a pretty good hitter's ballpark. So I don't know, man. I'm honestly looking at, excuse me, somebody like Kyle Harrison. So, yes, Coors Field suppresses strikeouts. We know that. But this Rockies team has honestly been bad enough that I don't really think you should be deterred from playing pitchers at Coors right now for one very specific reason. I'm going to tell you why, Matt, and get your thoughts here. And, of course, guys, chime in chat. Love reading your opinions, especially when we're doing a strategy show in the morning and there's so much unknown and there's so much under the hood that we haven't really uncovered yet. The maybe the most important thing for me, DraftKings, I don't think they've adjusted fully to the fact that, like, they've adjusted to Rockies pricing at Coors to some extent. Like, the Colorado Rockies at Coors Field haven't been nearly as expensive as we've seen in the past. And that's largely because they suck, right? Like, individually, most of these guys stink. But they haven't adjusted pitcher pricing appropriately for Coors Field for this new Rockies team. And what I mean is they should be adjusting it up, but they haven't been. I mean, Nolan Jones is out. He's on the IL. Chris Bryant is on the IL. Not that he's been any good before he did anyway. Like, this team is not good. And Kyle Harrison is sitting at $6,400, 24%. So above average strikeout rate. $6,400 is too cheap, no matter where you're pitching, as long as it's against this Rockies team.
100% agree with you. I knew where you were going with that. Thinking about Luis Castillo in this spot a couple weeks ago, where he was like $7,600. And yeah, hadn't really thought about it like that, but I'm with you. The opposing pitchers in Colorado, the pitchers facing the Rockies, that is, are just continuously too cheap because the Rockies are so bad. In years past, people would be more hesitant to go to pitchers in this spot. Clearly, we're not seeing that this year. And I'm with you. Even if you made Harrison like $7,500 here, I think that would be a fair price. Maybe still a little bit. That would probably be fair and the ownership would come down a lot. But because he's so cheap, it makes him look really, really good. He's right in the Bailey Ober, Seth Lugo mix for me. I prefer those two guys slightly more, but Harrison's cheaper and aside from Coors in the better spot. So yeah, all three of those guys look really in play for me if I don't want to spend up on a Yamamoto, et cetera.
I'm going to tell you guys something that'll blow your mind. Okay. So I just went to Fangraphs and filtered team splits, right? Team stats at home this season, right? At home. Normally, back only a few years ago, Rockies would be like top five in every category, right? I mean, it would be not even close. They're dead last in WRC+. Dead last at home in WRC+. ISO 142, 19th. WOBA, 315. They're what? Let's see. Where are they sitting? 15. So they're middle of the league in those, dead last in WRC+. And here's the kicker for you, because we already know Coors Field does suppress strikeouts, just being in the altitude, the thinner air. Second highest strikeout rate in the league among teams at home this season. 562 plate appearances. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is nuts. That's really nuts. Like, looking at Harrison's ownership and looking at the tools, I have some GPP inherent interest in stacking the Rockies against him because of his ownership, but maybe that's just a bad move altogether.
I mean, I don't think it's a terrible move. Like, I don't think Kyle Harrison is some, you know, infallible sure. ace, right? And it's still Coors Field. The Rockies still have a 4.6 total, which again for Coors Field is very low. But you know, like, is there any reason not to have interest in Harrison at 6,400? I think you could still stack the Rockies though, for sure.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, and this question has no answer, but it's really like the question we're looking for. What is Coors Field worth for hitting? I know that it's a big upgrade, but what's the breaking point? Like, how bad do the Rockies have to be where we're just like, we don't even want to play them in Coors?
I think it's less that, and it's more we used to never want to target pitchers at Coors.
Fair.
And now we can do both. Like that, I think it's more that.
Yeah,
like,
that makes sense.
The scales have tipped, but they've gone from look like a moron. They've gone from that to that instead of that to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I think you can just easily make the argument for both now. Whereas it used to be like, yeah, you might play Kershaw when they drop him down to 8,500 at Coors just because he was so good, and he'd play at Coors several times a year in that division. But now I just have no problem targeting pitch, especially until DraftKings decides to price some of these guys up.
Even like just 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, when Blackman was really good, Trevor Story, Arenado, like they'd be really popular in Coors and you'd be looking to get to them because they were really good. Now, the only real reasons to stack Colorado in Coors is because one, it's Coors, and two, they're just not getting any love ever.
100%. Like, Castillo was 8,200 at Coors a few starts ago. There's no reason he should
have been.
Yeah. And he dominated. Yes, he's way better than Kyle Harrison, but Kyle Harrison actually has decent stuff. You know, you'll take a 24% K rate, 6% walk rate any day of the week, right? Sub 4X fit. Been pretty good. So, yeah, we don't have to spend a ton of time on that, but 6,400 to me is. Oof. Yeah.
I honestly feel similarly about Seth Lugo here. Now, it's not as good of a spot against the Rockies because the Brewers are better. But since the Brewers started off the season really, really good, especially against righties, they've tailed off. You know, certainly no Christian Yelich hasn't helped them. And again, I'm not like completely buying in what Lugo's selling right now, but he has been phenomenal and he's always had good stuff. Has just never really been a full-time starter given those keys. So now that he is, again, like, I don't think he's some ace or anything like that. I just think he's too cheap at 7,200.
Among your cheap pitchers, then, is he up there as one of your favorites? Because right now, let's look at some of the cheaper pitchers. We'll say sub 8K. There aren't a lot of them. Actually, hold on. Let me flip back to DraftKings. That would be that would make more sense. So there's eight pitchers sub 8K, and four of them are getting double-digit ownership, but Ober, Harrison, and Lugo are all getting, you know, about 20%+. I've got to tell you, like, as much as I think Harrison's super viable, to your original point, if he is 32% owned in Coors, like, the Rockies do naturally just end up looking good. I probably have a decent amount of both, would be my guess.
Yeah, but, same, because the Rockies are third overall in the top stacked one. That's not even accounting for the leverage against Harrison. So I would imagine the Sims are giving you a lot of Harrison, and then on the other side of that, a lot of Rockies.
Yeah, I would certainly think so. I mean, I get, let's see. All right, so as it stands, and this is stacks for me, like 3-4 and 5-man stacks. So not just 5-mans. I'm getting 13% Rocky stacks. Again, 3-4 and 5s. And I'm getting 18% Harrison. Pretty even.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that, I would say that's pretty even. I wonder what my exposures look like just to Rocky batters in general. Let me see real quick. So filters. We fixed all, not fixed, but we changed all the filters on the Sims tool, and it's so easy to use now. Jordan, I bet it's much better for you too, where you can just like click positions and stuff. All right. So I'm getting, yeah, I have two Colorado bats in the double digits, Beck and Tovar. And then all the rest are between like 5 and 8%. So not crazy exposure, but definitely have them. Like if they were to pop off, I definitely have some lineups where Colorado, you know, gives me a chance. Same with Harrison though. Let's see, Matt, let me pull out this. Let me remove this Colorado. All right. Cause I want to get your thoughts and you guys' thoughts on these mid-range guys. So right now, 29% Bailey Ober, 18% Harrison, only 7% Seth Lugo. I'm telling you right now, I genuinely believe this Lewis Heel exposure comes down from where I'm at.
Yeah, same. This is one that's I'm really surprised in the tools that Heel is so much higher than Lugo in a worse spot at a more expensive price point. I just don't see that. But again, I could be wrong. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time.
How about I do this? How about I, what if I go ahead just to see where we're at here? And I'm going to cap his exposure at 15%. Okay. We're going to cap the exposure at 15% and see how this rearranges things. All right. So I capped him at 15% in the Sims, of course. Go to exposures, go to pitchers. And now it's Ober at 35, Yamamoto at 40, Harrison at 29, Lugo at 23, Michaelis at 17, Heel at 15, Lopez at 15. That's a lot more balanced from like the 70% Heel I was getting.
Yeah, it looks better to me, but again, maybe I'm just missing something with Heel here. Either that or his pitcher percentage is going to drop throughout the day.
I'm just doing this as an experiment to see what we end up getting. I think really what's popping off to me is that Heel's top value score in the pitcher's tool is the one that's probably making him pop, right? It's an 18%. It's only lower than Kyle Harrison, who's 6,400, and Michaelis and Vasquez, but that's just because those guys are cheap. So who are your favorite sub 8K guys?
I think it's the three we've talked about. Ober, and I don't love Ober as chalk, but he's just too cheap in this matchup. Lugo, who I've talked about. And then Harrison. And then one more point on Harrison and the Rockies. Ultimately, while I do like Colorado as a leverage stack against Harrison, it's just so much easier to roster Harrison than it is Rockies. Certainly, you don't have to roster either. But on one side, you've got Harrison against a bad Rockies team, and he's too cheap. On the other side, there's a ton of opportunity costs in stacking the Rockies because you're not stacking one of these other good teams. And their good bats are expensive. Left on left, Ryan McMahon is the most expensive third baseman on the slate. Elias Diaz is like close to 5K. Like they're not overly appealing from a price perspective. Really, it's just a play against Harrison. The only other pitcher I want to mention or talk about and get your opinion if you have one, and this is different than Munoz yesterday because Edward Cabrera is actually good. Same brutal spot, but man, I look at our top pitcher tool and he looks basically the exact same as Imanaga. I don't feel as good about him, but he's cheaper. And we know his strikeout upside is up there with the best in the league. Like, this is one where I wouldn't want to build around him in, like, single entry. But like Imanaga, it's easy to get over the field on him if you're multi-entering.
To Edward Cabrera?
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that's been the most popular pitcher on each of the past two slates he's been on. I know that was against Washington and Colorado, but now he's going to be like the lowest owned starter on the slate.
Well, then let me frame this a different way for you. Edward Cabrera is getting 1% at 8,700 in a difficult matchup. Luis Hill's getting 23% at 8,300 in a difficult matchup. Say Dodger bats are better for sure, but Houston doesn't strike out. So do you think that ownership adds up?
No, it doesn't. I don't think it adds up. And again, the Dodgers are the best offense in baseball, but Houston is a DFS nightmare to use an opposing pitcher against them. And I think Cabrera is the better pitcher between the two.
He's good. Oh, he's good. All right. I mean, kind of brutal last time out, but he still managed to rack up 9 strikeouts. That could have been so much better, though. He struggled his last 2 games as far as runs go. Like, it's only 2 starts. Are you muted?
Yeah, I was. He is not perfect. Like, no doubt about that. But his high, like, his stuff is up there with the top guys on this slate. And on any given start where he puts it together, he can have a 30-point outing against anyone. Now, there's a lot less margin for error in this spot against the Dodgers. And ultimately, like, he's just a tournament play. But when you compare him to Heel, that's where the interest starts to really come in.
The strikeout stuff is insane. There's no doubt about that. He's pitched, what, how many innings? Almost 20 innings. He has a 35% strikeout rate. So I get it. I get it. I have 8% Edward Cabrera right now. I'd be fine with that if he's getting 1%. You know what I mean? I actually think it's a deep slate for pitching because there's a lot of good pitchers who aren't in great spots that are just getting no ownership. Ronaldo Lopez is another guy who's been very good. I think that price is a little bit lofty, though.
Price is lofty. And Boston's been really, really good against right-handed pitching. Pablo Lopez was awesome against them, but then they got to Joe Ryan a little bit. And you're just paying full price for Ronaldo Lopez here. It's interesting that he's so high in the top pitcher tool. That's a byproduct of how good he's been this year. He has really good stuff as well, but he's just too expensive in a tough spot for me.
It's pretty crazy too. Like 3.56 XFIP is great, but shit, man, 92% strand rate.
Right.
250 BABIP. 27% K rate though. He is good. He is good. And he's pulling 17%.
You can he's pitched in some really good spots also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We talked about this last time out.
Yep.
Because I think last time might have been the first less than stellar matchup he had. Who did he face?
Seattle.
It's Seattle. Allowed 3, coughed up a home run, but struck out 7, was decent. Miami shut down Houston, had the Mets. But we said this earlier. He faced the Mets when the Mets could not hit a beach ball with a tennis racket. Like, it was bad. And then the White Sox to open the season. So, also, when he faced Houston, they were playing just terrible baseball, too. And they picked it up a little bit. So, I don't know. You're right. He has had some good matchups. He's still been very good. He's in play. There's probably like 8 or 9 pitchers that are viable today in some capacity or another. Some of them viable just because you want to get a little bit of exposure to him. Maybe some Imanaga because he's not owned at all. Maybe Cabrera because he's at 1% as well. But from Ober to Yamamoto to Harrison, Heel, Lugo at 19% has been very good. He's still almost below 7,000. Lopez has been fantastic. The only other guy I want to ask you about is Miles Michaelis against the Mets. He's pulling 11%, largely because he's 6K flat.
Yeah, it's just a price play. I don't have anything good to say about Michaelis. Don't have much bad to say either. Like, he is who he is. You know, we've read the book on him before. Kind of like Kyle Gibson, what I was saying yesterday with these Cardinal starters, they're all kind of the same in that they're not great. They're usually not going to beat themselves, but they don't have good enough stuff to overcome it when they do. So the two things that I like about Michaelis are the price, and he's at home, so that's nice, and that he's not pulling nearly the ownership that Kyle Harrison is. But I much prefer Harrison as a pitcher, certainly for DFS purposes. Michaelis is there if you need it, but I hope to not need it.
And as always, guys, I'm going to talk some stacks here, but you want to check out the Sims tool. Fire it up, baby. Link in the description and in chat. Sims Max Package, weekly or monthly, is getting you everything. Not just the Sims and the post-contest simulator, the contest generator, all of that stuff. With late swap features, more applicable for basketball, but definitely helpful for baseball as well. Things happen, right? Get those later games, like 4 o'clock games, 10 o'clock games on an early slate or a 7 p.m. slate. Lineups change. You need to make wholesale adjustments. That stuff happens. Players get scratched. I've used the late swap tool a lot, but also top pitchers tool you're getting, top hitters, top stacks tool, ownership, player projections, lineup generator, premium Discord. All of that's included. So check it out. Even the Sims, even the lower Sims one, like the Sims data package, you're still getting all of that. Just not being able to sim or create as many contests in the contest generator, still getting all of the tools. And if you just want to check out the lineup generator itself, a la carte, getting it at a great price. And you've seen us run it here. Jordan, we can pull it up now, run it for tonight's slate. I mean, there's no better entry-level tool that'll help you build better lineups in the industry. I can say that with certainty than the lineup generator, particularly given the amount of success people have had with it. So that's down there too. Try them all out. And if you ever have questions, my DMs are always open. You can hit me up. But yeah, looking at the results right now, we can dive into some of these stacks. And Jordan, if you run 20 lineups on the lineup generator, what is our stack exposure? Let's pull this up, then we can dig in. Okay, so not shocking. San Francisco on the road at Coors Field, Matt. That doesn't surprise me whatsoever. And I think one of the reasons it doesn't surprise me is because there's some cheap pitching and Dakota Hudson's on the mound for the Colorado Rockies. This makes sense. This makes a lot of sense to me.
It makes a lot of sense. And also, the Giants aren't even that expensive. Like, they've got a couple guys. Jung Ho Lee is 4,800. Their lineup is filled with guys like 35 to 4,500. Pretty easy to get there, no matter who you use at pitcher. I'm shocked they're not projected to pull more ownership than they are right now. Maybe it's the fact that they're the Giants and they're not great. But this spot just looks so much better than any other spot on the slate, at least to me.
The only thing I don't like is that they just played a 4-game series in Philly. And actually, they were off. No, were they? No, they played yesterday, right?
Wheeler dominated them yesterday.
Yeah, they had a 4 p.m. game. They got swept, 4-game series.
They won one, didn't they?
No, I'm pretty sure they got swept. And now they have to travel to play in Colorado the very next day. That's tough.
It is. That's tough. But I'll counter that with, no arguments with that point. But they just got swept in Philly, as you said, got dominated by Wheeler. I know Taiwan Walker was really good. Pretty sure Nola pitched in this series and also Ranger Suarez. So they're going from that to Dakota Hudson and Coors.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's clearly a better spot. Astronomical difference between what type of spot this is. Coors Field's weird though, man. See a lot of teams in their first game at Coors Field of the series come out flat, adjusting to the altitude. And they're going from East Coast game, like far northeast, to a West Coast game in Colorado. Maybe it's nothing. I don't know. But it's worth considering. Jordan, go to the Sims tool. I want to see our stack exposure over on the Sims. Because my guess is it's pretty similar. Go to 5-man stack. Yeah, San Francisco. Okay, Jordan's actually getting more Colorado exposure than I was getting to, Matt. 11%. And then 3% 3-man stack exposure, 2%. So around 15% Rockies. And total stack exposure to San Francisco looks like it's 30, almost 40%. No, yeah. Let's see. 23, 32. Yeah, like 37% San Francisco. The teams in these at Coors just haven't been priced up enough. And Coors hasn't been lighting it up. It's earlier in the year. It's not as warm weather. We've gotten some pretty chilly games there, some pretty bad weather games there. But even given the struggles that they've seen in traveling east to West Coast, I'd be lying if I said I was getting away from the Giants in this matchup against Hudson.
And no one's been lighting it up, really. So,
right. Well, yeah, good point.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think that we do have to take into consideration it's their first game in Coors. They've traveled. They were just in Philly, East Coast road trip, et cetera, et cetera. And the Giants, like, aren't that great themselves. The thing is, though, like, who is, So, I do think there are some other offenses to look at and that there are certainly in play, Atlanta, Colorado. I just think San Francisco sets, you know, is clearly the number one offense for me, you know, ownership agnostic. I do think that the ownership will be there, even though, again, we have them projected to be very under-owned. I think that probably is a little bit like the Dodgers yesterday, where the top of their lineup is going to be owned, and then you're going to see guys at the bottom who just aren't getting love.
Another issue on this slate, though, when you really think about it, is we mentioned throughout the first like 30, 40 minutes that there's a lot of good pitchers who may not actually be in good spots and may not warrant a lot of exposure or ownership on this slate. But it also means that they're not particularly good arms to stack against either. You have
like, great point,
right? When you look at some of these guys, how many do you feel comfortable stacking against? Imanaga, you don't really want to play him, right? But at the same time, are you stacking against him with any relative confidence? No. Mm-hmm. Yamamoto? No. Lopez, even if you're not getting to a lot of him, he's still been very good. And you're right, like Boston's been good against righties, but how confident are you in Yankees against Verlander? I don't know. Maybe they have a 4.5 run total. Like even Dodgers against Cabrera, given a lot of their pricing, they're not going to pop as just this electric play. Cabrera's biggest issue has been walks. Astros against Luis Gil. Atlanta against Crawford. Good weather, but I'm just going down the list here. Like even Milwaukee against Lugo. Lugo doesn't give up a lot of power.
That's a really, really good point. Honestly, it answers a question I've had since we started the show, like looking at the tools. Why are the Cubs projected to be the highest owned team on the slate? And I think it's in part because of the weather, but a big part of what you just said. There just aren't pitchers on this slate that we really want to pick on. So Randy Vasquez is one of them. The Cubs are affordable and they're going to be owned. I think the Giants look better than them, but similar spots. You're right.
So what other stacks do you want to look towards?
I mean, I think there's always the obligatory Atlanta because they're Atlanta. Hunter Crawford's been good. They're the team that I think probably falls off in ownership because they're really expensive and certainly a lot of opportunity costs there. I'm with you, though. There aren't that many offenses on this slate that actually look good. Like Minnesota against Emerson Hancock. Okay, like he's shown a little propensity to give up power, but he's been much better recently. I guess I might have a little interest in Houston against the chalky heel, but I'm not sure that holds. And as we've talked about ad nauseum, like Houston hasn't been great and heel has been really good. So while that's in play, it's just a tournament stack that you don't feel great about. Kind of similar to the Rockies. So at the end of the day, that's why I just think the Giants look so much better than everyone else.
They really do. And to your point, Chicago ends up looking pretty decent because of the weather and a not bad matchup with a 5-run total. What about Seattle against Ober? Is there any, because they don't actually profile well in the top stacks tool. I thought they'd look a little bit better just because while I think Bailey Ober is a good pitcher, I don't think he's great. And he's also had the luxury of facing some really, really bad teams.
To the point you just made, there are no bad pitchers on this slate. There's a couple guys that we don't mind picking on. Hudson certainly isn't good, but that's it. There are no like gas cans really on this slate. So while Ober, I think, has a ton of upside at his price and he's too cheap, yeah, you could sell me on Seattle just because of the ownership Ober's getting. He's far from an ace. I mean, we saw it last time out. Very inconsistent. We know the Seattle offense has upside. And again, yeah, they don't look good in the tools, but it's also the type of thing like after you get to, you know, the Mets in the tools, the Mets and below minus the Marlins all look pretty similar, you know?
Very similar. I mean, I guess the only one I haven't asked you about would be like Kansas City against Colin Rea.
I don't get why they're not higher in the top stack pool just because Rea, I think, is probably in that list of pitchers we don't mind picking on, but I'm not excited about rostering Kansas City here.
No. Now, look, 7% swinging strikes for Rea this year. Strikeout rate sitting at 16%. None of that looks particularly good at all. 1.3 home runs per nine. So, you know, that's fine. Home run, the fly ball, 11.9%. He's He's basically just an average pitcher. He's not a gas can. He's just an average pitcher. You have a bunch of those guys. I don't think you have any terrible, like Dakota Hudson's the one guy. And that's why San Francisco clearly has the highest top stack probability on the slate by far. But it's also why Atlanta is second against Cutter Crawford, who's been good. Colorado's third against Harrison. I really think I'm going to end up having a lot of San Francisco, also a lot of Colorado, just by kind of process of elimination.
Right, because Harrison is certainly in play. We talked about it because of his price point, but without many good offenses to target, like certainly Colorado in cores is going to be at least worth, you know, having some exposure to. Again, it just falls into the fact that we don't have teams in good spots. A lot of this is like Imanaga against the Padres. Don't love Imanaga here because of the spot he's in, because of his price tag, et cetera, et cetera. But he looks a hell of a lot better than the Padres themselves going against him.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. What an odd. We go from yesterday with just like no runs to today where
right. It
feels like there's going to be far fewer runs and it's going to end up just being a homer fest or something like that. That's just how it works.
Yeah, like maybe the Mets against Mikolas. Like not that Mikolas is getting much ownership, but he is one of the worst pitchers on the slate. Like even though he's not awful, it's kind of just what you said. And I hadn't really noticed this in doing my research. There just are a lot of decent to good pitchers on this slate. Now, most of them aren't in great spots, so we don't want to target them, but it makes it so a lot of the offenses don't look that appealing.
You've got a point. Mikolas has struggled with home runs too.
Yeah, I mean, he's go ahead. Sorry.
15.5% home run to fly ball rate. 1.66 home runs per nine. Just like looking at how he's fared as far as the long ball goes, Mikolas has given up a decent amount of power already this season. He's already had two games with multiple home runs. He's coughed up a home run in four of six starts. Last I looked, temperatures, let me pull it up. St. Louis, winds blowing out to right center at 8 miles per hour, almost 80 degrees at first pitch. Yeah, maybe the Mets are a team we should be paying pretty close attention to here.
Yeah, they stand out a little bit just in terms of what we've been talking about without pitchers we really want to pick on. But again, to like a question you asked me 15 minutes ago, I'm not excited about rostering the Mets ever, and I'm not excited about it here.
No, I'm never excited about them. But there's not a ton of stacks to get excited about.
Mm-hmm.
You could get excited about the fact that Sleeper is discounting another play down to a free square today. Luka Doncic down to a half a point. Man, that matchup against Lu Dort's going to be fun to watch. Lu Dort erased Brandon Ingram. Now, granted, I mean, it's a much tougher time against Luka Doncic. No doubt about it. Luka's going to get his. But this OKC-Dallas matchup, I know it's a baseball show, is going to be a lot of fun. If you're not on Sleeper yet, free square tonight. Doncic discounted from 32.5 points to half a point, 99% discount. That is a free square, my friends. Also, 100% first match deposit bonus. Great pick'em site with dynamic pricing where, unlike the others, you know, they all have their advantages. I talk about Underdog all the time. They have the best ball, the pick'em drafts, the daily drafts, all of that stuff, right? Sleeper has the dynamic pricing. So, like, you can grab home runs and put them into your lineup up to 100x your entry. They have, you know, double-doubles, triple-doubles, touchdown scores, and all of that stuff because they use a multiplier. Instead of just taking like the traditionally juiced minus 110, minus 120 odds on either side and throwing them into the mix, which severely limits the amount of plays that you can choose from. Here, everything's based on a multiplier with dynamic pricing. So you have just as many, if not more options as you would on a traditional sports book. So it's pretty cool. 100% first match deposit bonus over on Sleeper and a free square on Luka Doncic. Link in the description and in chat if you're not there yet. Drop Roses is back. Wow. Said Dort is lucky Ingram wasn't 100%. Dude. Okay. Ingram wasn't 100%. Dort is also arguably the best on-ball defender in the league. Like Dort is an amazing, there's players out there. Like Dame said it. A lot of players out there said that Dort's the best defender in best, you know, wing guard slash wing defender in the league. That's how good he is, Matt. Guy's amazing.
Yeah, he's a stud defensively. I really want to see Luka versus Ant in the Western Conference Finals. I'm not sure Dallas has enough to beat OKC, though. I think that'll be a great series. Both Western Conference series and then the Western Conference Finals are going to be must-see TV. Luka versus Ant, though, would be a show.
Luka versus Ant would be nuts. Yeah. Yeah, I like OKC to win this series, honestly.
Yeah, they're just a lot deeper.
And defensively, man, they are good. Dallas is a good basketball team, no doubt. And, you know, you look at this, like, pretty even. Thunder, 3.5-point favorites at home in game one. 3.5-point favorites. Futures, let's see. Where's the rounds? Can't find it right now on DraftKings, but playoff special. Yeah, let's see. I can't. You know what? It's gonna take me forever. Not that anybody.
I just don't know if Dallas has the size to punish OKC. I think that that's really where you need to take advantage against the Thunder, and I don't see that as Dallas's strength. Yeah, man. Boston, I know. Go ahead.
Boston's plus 105 to win. Wow. Timberwolves plus 320. OKC plus 850. Knicks plus 950. Mavs plus 950. Nuggets are 12 to 1 now. Pacers 60 to 1. And Cavs 150 to 1.
That's crazy to be in the final eight and have such long odds. I know that Boston was like minus 1500 to win this series against Cleveland. So can't say I'm all that surprised. The Wolves rolling into Denver and winning two straight has given me a little copium that maybe the Cavs can pull off a similar feat. The problem is we don't have Anthony Edwards.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be tough. But anyway, Sleeper's pretty sweet. They got all that for every sport you can think of. Check it out. Before we get out of here, top three pitchers, top three stacks, and, you know, not the traditional, like, oh, these top three guys, but the guys that you are most likely to play, the stacks that you are most likely to play.
I think Yamamoto is the clear number one. If you can get there, do it. And then I'm going to say Ober and Lugo with Harrison right there. So it's those four for me, and then a pretty big drop off. I know you asked me for three, but wanted to shout that out. As far as offenses go, I think it's San Fran, easy number one. Colorado, two, just because of the ownership Harrison's getting. And then I'm going to say Houston. Again, I don't love their chances of success. I just love a team like Houston facing a chalky pitcher who's certainly not an ace.
Is there a stack that you're getting away from that's chalky right now?
As of right now, I think it would be the Cubs. Like, they're just too popular. There's so many other teams in similar spots. I don't think the Cubs are a bad play, but they look like the one team that's like, I don't really want to ride that ownership.
Okay. Yeah, give me Yamamoto. It's just too good a spot. Ober and Harrison. And then Lugo, I think, looks good at that price. He's still probably underpriced. And I'll just throw it out there again. Imanaga, if he really is, if we get closer to lock when you and I do the live before lock, and he's 1% owned, still has 15% top two pitcher probability. I understand that he's expensive. But, you know, 27% K rate, 3% walk rate. He's been spectacular. San Diego still only has a 4-run implied total, which isn't exactly encouraging if you're San Diego bat. So just throwing that out there, 1% owned is very low for a guy that's been absolutely stellar. Stacks, while I like Harrison, you know, San Francisco too, Colorado. San Francisco, Colorado, and I'll throw the Mets in there as number three. Michaelis has had some real homer issues this season, and I'll take some shots there. I'm getting to some of them in the Sims right now, but things will adjust throughout the day. The biggest thing that I'm going to be paying attention to, Matt, is what happens with this Luis Gil ownership. Does this stay the same going all the way up to lock? Actually, I should say his top pitcher probability. In the event that it does, I'm probably going to end up getting a lot of him, whether I want to or not.
Yeah, it makes sense. Just one last thing about Imanaga. And to your point, like, yeah, he's expensive, but pricing in baseball isn't like it is in the NBA. Like, you don't need whatever 5 or 6x for Imanaga to be good here. If he's has like a, you know, 25 point start, that's really good, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Anyway, appreciate you guys hanging out. Follow Matt at Fantasy Tips, Matt Mialafi _D over on Twitter. Thanks to Jordan Klein for producing this one. Live Before Lock tonight. And of course for basketball too. One really good game. The other one you could probably do without, but who knows? Maybe the Cavs make a bit of a push and keep it interesting. But OKC Dallas is going to be fun. We'll be on playback for that. We'll have Live Before Lock for both of those huge contests still for NBA. We'll see you back here later tonight, both of those and over on playback. Peace.